This is the Craft of Coaching podcast, where you'll learn about how to become a life coach with a strong skill set through understanding the craft of coaching. I'm Kate Swoboda, also known as Kate Courageous. As the director of a life coach training program called the Courageous Living Coach Certification Program, I'm passionate about the craft of coaching and how we evolve the skills and the industry. Learn more about our program at teamclcc.com. And here's today's episode. Hey, everybody. So I have something of some exciting news, and it is that I have been working this past summer on a new book. Those of you who are familiar with my work know that I published the book The Courage Habit with a traditional publisher in 2018, and I tell you, there was so much work involved in the securing of a book contract and then the writing of the chapters and the editing of the chapters and then the rewriting of the chapters and then the re-editing of the chapters and then the copy editing, of the chapters, that there was a part of me that finished that book and thought, am I ever going to write another book again? It was a lot of work. And on some level I knew that I would, but it was also like, okay, that was a lot. When am I ever going to feel ready to do that again? And I'm super excited because I've done it and it is now a coaching related book. There were all of these things that I really wanted to say about the coaching industry that I just don't feel like are getting talked about enough. Like for instance, I was listening to this podcast a while ago with these two guys, and this podcast, these two guys, like, you know, went out and founded a startup, and now they give, you know, life hacky kinds of advice for other wannabe entrepreneurs. And one of the guys made one of these little comments that just gets tossed off sometimes about life coaches, like, well, anybody can hang out a shingle and call themselves a life coach, even if, you know, you're not really qualified, or, you know, it's some kind of like vaguely condescending. Well, let me go back here. That wasn't vaguely condescending. That was completely freaking condescending comment about the coaching industry. And I started thinking about these two guys, because they're not alone in their misperception that coaches don't have training and things like that. And the reason I started to think about these two guys is because one of them had not gone to college, had like started but not finished their degree. Another had gone to college but had majored in something totally different than what they ended up doing for their startup. They were lucky enough that their startup took off and was successful. They now have like employees, you know, people who show up every day and basically depend on these two guys kind of knowing what they're doing to have a job and pay their mortgages. So all these employees depend on them. And of course, everybody who's listening to this podcast is, even if these two guys aren't coming right out and saying, you should always listen to us because we know what we're doing. That's my bro voice, by the way. Even if they're not saying that, it's implied. It's implied that they have a podcast. And so the things that they are saying about the in their opinion, sure, but the best ways to be the founder of a startup or hack your day so that you can have maximum productivity or connect with the right investors if you want to seek venture capital funding. Like, where are their qualifications? That was the question that really came to mind. Like, why is there this assumption that in the coaching industry, the people who are coaches just must not be qualified? It's kind of a ridiculous assumption, especially coming from these two guys, because as far as I can tell, these two guys have life experience, and it's very valuable life experience. I'm not knocking it, but they're not certified in anything. They're not, you know, they didn't go into a training program in order to learn how to become a startup founder. And now they're out dispensing advice about how to do it with no knowledge, really, of whether or not it's appropriate for every member of their listening audience. How could they have that knowledge? You know, they got a lot of people listening to them. Life coaches, by contrast, the majority of them are getting training and are delivering interventions for clients that are uniquely targeted to that client and are doing all kinds of things that go far, far beyond just hanging out a shingle and dispensing advice. You know, like, I don't think these guys went to podcasting school before they hopped out there and got a platform and started, you know, yakety yakking about all the things. So that was one of the things that really hit a tipping point for me to go, I kind of want to respond to that. And I didn't want to respond to them per se. I wanted to respond to the overall misperceptions that people have about coaching. And there are a lot of them, that it's a pyramid scheme, that coaches are just in it for the money, but the therapists are like completely altruistic, that a licensed therapist is somehow immune from unethical behavior. There are a lot of licensed therapists, actually, who, some of whom don't ever lose their licenses, some of whom do, who practice unethical behavior, and that's unfortunate. Basically, unethical behavior shows up in every industry, and your qualification to do a job is not somehow being perfect first. Show me the doctor who has perfect health. Becoming an oncologist does not mean that you are inoculated from ever getting cancer. Becoming a doctor does not mean that you never touch a drop of alcohol and make sure that you eat like a perfect vegetarian, plant-based, organic, sustainably raised diet. Financial people, financial accountants, financial advisors run into money problems. Teachers have children who struggle with staying motivated around school or with learning in a classroom. So why is it that there's this perception, this idea that life coaches shouldn't be practicing what they practice because somebody knows a life coach who doesn't have their life completely and totally, you know, all their shit, like completely and totally and perfectly together. So thus they're not qualified. This is just weird to me. So I wanted to speak to that. So drum roll, please. If I had a drum roll, I'd add it in. There's probably one on my computer somewhere as a soundbite, but I'm not going to pull it up now. I'm going to tell you the title of the book and how the title of the book came to me. The title of the book was going to be about why coaching matters, but then I had a little eureka moment, because there is a book, and if you are interested in coaching, if you are already a coach and you want a book where you feel like somebody talks in a way where you're like, yeah, they get it, they get what this is about, certainly the book that I have written, which is called The Gift of Coaching, will be one of those that you will want to add to your library. And I want to tell you a little bit about the inspiration where the gift of coaching came from, because there's another book that you'll want to add to your library. So there is this celebrated psychotherapist named Irvin D. Yalom, Y-A-L-O-M, M as in Mary. And he wrote a book called The Gift of Therapy. And that book came out more than 10 years ago. I read it at least 10 years ago. And when I read it, I was like, what? Because at the time that I read it, I was actually in a graduate level marriage and family therapy program to become a licensed therapist. And I had made this assumption when I enrolled in that program that if I already was a life coach who loved life coaching, if therapy was supposed to be like an even more intense version of mental health support or personal growth, then surely if I had loved becoming a life coach and being a life coach, then I would crazy love being a therapist, right? Like therapy training would be like, you know, coaching training, but on steroids. It would be so amazing. It didn't work out that way. And it didn't work out that way for a whole host of reasons that I don't think are like my fault or the training program's fault or any of those things. And I talk a little bit about some of that in the book. But one of the books that I sought out during that time was The Gift of Therapy. And I sought it out because, to be honest, I felt like a lot of the coursework that I was encountering in my graduate level program, contrary to what I'd experienced in coach training, which was very alive and I felt like every day I was learning more about myself and humans, and I was excited. The graduate level program just felt very dry. So I began searching out other resources. I found Irvin Yalom's The Gift of Therapy. I went, oh my God, this guy gets it. He said all these things like, let the patient matter to you. I swap in the word client instead of patient, of course, but let the client matter to you. Acknowledge your errors. Create a new therapy for each patient. In other words, create a new coaching for each client. These ideas are still, and I think it's really great from what I understand of the psychotherapeutic industry, they do change more and more all the time, but there are still going to be people who are teaching, and I definitely saw that in the program that I was in, where it was like, you needed to maintain a professional distance, and it was all about like, you know, coming in and the client comes in and you need to do your intake and you need to be looking for point A, B, and C to classify them on the diagnostic and statistical manual. And it was like Yalom's brand of therapy, the way he said he practiced therapy, was all about what I wanted to be as a coach. Use the here and now. Help patients take responsibility. Cognitive behavioral therapy is not all that it's cracked up to be. He was talking about all of these things, and there was something in me that went, yes, yes, yes. So 10 years ago, I had already been a coach for a couple years, was trying to get my graduate degree, my master's in counseling, and when I felt stuck, Yalom's words felt like this beautiful light that breathed some fresh air back into this work that I love so much. And as I was working on my book, Why Coaching Matters, this summer, that was more of a, I think in the vein of Yalom's work, but was really going, okay, like here are all the things, the misperceptions about the industry, and here's like what needs to be better, and here's what is actually really great and really helpful, here's what's an advantage of working with a coach, here's what it can do. It hit me in this kind of eureka moment that there was this way in which I had unintentionally this whole time been writing The Gift of Coaching. I had been writing a book that was really looking at, look, here's what's working, but here are these other things that are like platitudes in the coaching industry that like I just don't think are true in actual practice. I'll give an example. You know, you hear people say therapy's about the past, and coaching is about the future. Coaching is about the future you want to create. Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think that the past should have no room in a coaching environment. I mean, part of how you can use the past in coaching is to go, here's how the client's past patterns are showing up in the here and now present. For me, the coaching that is most alive, whether I've received it or whether I've been the one doing the coaching, is coaching that is present to what is happening for this client in this here and now moment. And how has the past influenced this moment, and how is this moment influencing what's getting created in the future? So instead of there being this division, which I don't even think is really fair to therapy or coaching, about one's about the past and one's about the present, especially because there are a lot of therapists who would go, I don't sit around focusing on the past and how you were raised. I go into other stuff. And there are coaches who probably see what I'm talking about the necessity of looking at past patterns. How is it that we really go into this terrain and this territory as professionals? How is it that we do it while still continuing to keep an open heart? And frankly, me dropping some truth bombs about the misperceptions that people have about the industry, as well as a call to action to all of the coaches that are out there, because there are places where the industry can really fail people. And one of those things that I talk about, just as a for instance in The Gift of Coaching, is the ways in which someone will exclusively market their business around positivity and let's just be about the light and all that stuff, and never take into account, like, you know, some of your clients might not have that privilege. Some of your clients need someone in their lives to go, hey, you're not crazy. When you're a woman trying to speak up in a male-dominated environment and they shut your ideas down, it's not just that you need better communication skills for me to coach you around. It's that we need to acknowledge that sexism is most probably in the room. We need to acknowledge that there are intersections around race and class and gender and sexual orientation and gender identity and all of these things. We need to actually be real about the fact that these things exist with our clients. And that is something that the majority of coaches out there don't want to get into. And the reason they don't want to get into it is because they feel like they are supposed to be experts at it if they do get into it. And one of the things I'm talking about in The Gift of Coaching is how to really sound the call for yourself and for your practice and for your clients to evolve into a new way of being. So these are the things that I'm talking about in my book, The Gift of Coaching. It is going to be coming out in the coming weeks. Keep an eye out for it. You will be able to Google it and check it out on Amazon. And I'm really excited about it coming out and really that book being something of an extension of the Craft of Coaching podcast. That in the same way that you come into the Craft of Coaching podcast and you get these little sound bites of what it's really like to be a coach, how you work with clients, what are the things to keep in mind, where are the places where we have blind spots and we don't even realize that they're not in our vision. I'm hoping that The Gift of Coaching is one of those books as well. And I'm also hoping that for any coaches who, or those who are coaching curious, you've been curious about coaching and sometimes you've felt like, I don't know. What is this? Is it a pyramid scheme? Is it this, that, and the other? Like, sometimes I wonder because I see these criticisms of coaching. Well, you know, there are criticisms of the coaching industry that are absolutely founded. And I think it's good that we raise those criticisms. That's a healthy thing to do in any industry so that we can stay in integrity. And there are a hell of a lot of criticisms that are misperceptions, that are completely unfounded, that are made by people who are looking at coaching through a lens that is really, really skewed. Coaching does have a place. I think, and I argue in The Gift of Coaching, that its best place, if it were fully embraced by society, would be as paraprofessional support for therapists. In the same way that we have community health workers who are able to dispense some level of medical advice based on client education and client needs, and who are able to, in essence, coach the people that they work with to make the best decisions that those people can make about diet or exercise, etc., but they wouldn't go so far as to actually try to be doctors and diagnose. Coaching has that same potential for paraprofessional support alongside what happens in the therapeutic realm. So, hit your Google. I don't have a specific release date for The Gift of Coaching yet as of recording this podcast today. As you can imagine, I'm going over and over and over it again. I kind of don't want to let it go and like officially release it until I really feel good about it. So I'm not going to say a specific release date here on this podcast, but what I will say is if you look around for The Gift of Coaching on Amazon after listening to this, you will be able to find it. And you'll also be able to find it on the Team CLCC website. We're going to name the URL teamclcc.com/giftofcoaching with dashes in between. So that's how we're going to do that. All right. As always, I so love coming here and talking about the craft of coaching. We have had more people than ever before doing two things. One, hopping over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and giving us a quick little rating. Even if you just hit the little 5 stars and you say, love it. We see that. We so appreciate that. And it helps other people find this podcast. And the other thing that's been happening more is people emailing us and saying, hey, I got a question about this aspect of coaching. maybe you could go over it on a future Craft of Coaching episode. You want to do that? Absolutely. Do it, do it, do it. Send your question on over to support@yourcourageouslife.com, and we will be able to see if it is something that we can include on a future episode. And of course, if it's a question that we've already answered, we can direct you to the archives. The full archives for all seasons of The Craft of Coaching are on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, everybody, see you around, and thanks for listening.